Good morning, everybody. You are very welcome in church this morning, and I'm privileged to be able to preach this morning to you, and I pray that God would really work in your hearts in this morning and come and show Himself as the Almighty Father. For all of you visiting us for the first time, you are very welcome, and we hope you enjoy it with us. And it's a privilege to have you with us, and those of you who have been visiting us for a while, you're most welcome to stay if you want to. Just a short announcement before I start with the sermon is with regards to the fast that's on this week from Monday up until Wednesday. The fast is to get ourselves in line with God's will for this year. So the whole of Shofar over South Africa and the world will be fasting together, especially those members of staff. But all other leaders, anyone in the church, is welcome to join us with a fast. And then this Wednesday, the 20th of January, we'll be meeting at the school and we'll be breaking the fast together and praying. So even if you haven't fasted, you are most welcome to come and join us for that. And we'll be looking at a short video clip just to explain a bit more about the fast.
One of the big changes that has happened in church life in the last few decades is the restoration of something that Martin Luther had actually introduced to the church and has never quite hit home or become a reality in church. And I'm talking about the priesthood of all believers, about the fact that church does not comprise one man preaching at a lot of people who receive his wisdom and his ministry and then go home to continue with their lives. Church is meant to be a place where every believer sees themselves as that minister, as that person whom God would use. And obviously, from the New Testament, we understand that everybody has a different contribution to make. Everybody has another gift. So whoever stands in the pulpit and teaches or preaches or sings or prophesies, they would bring a specific gift. But that does not mean that the rest of us are recipients. What is in fact happening is that somebody is allowed to share what God has given him or her to share with the rest of us. And so we believe that everybody should have the opportunity to find where God would have them share and how God would have them share at any time in our lives. Because the greatest privilege that we have as believers is to share what God has given us. And you know, for me, the big revelation is not so much the fact that I have something to give or something to share. The big revelation is that God views me as the gift. I'm the gift and you the gift. And so when I come and I bring my gift, it's a double blessing that I give to people. I give myself and I give of myself. But the great joy is in discovering what that would mean for me. And so for that purpose, we have a Sunday called Activate Sunday, where we present to people what church is actually all about. Because church is more than just a meeting or meetings or gathering. Church happens every day, everywhere, where the people of God are the gifts that God has called us to be. And obviously, all of us, wherever we work or at home, we're always giving of ourselves because that's what believers do. But in an organized way, in terms of an established ministry, there's so much happening in our ranks, and it's so important that we see everything as integrated. God is a God of integration because God is the Shema of the Jews. The Shema means our God is one, the three in one. And God loves to see himself manifest in this integrated fashion. Everything ties together, everything flows together, everything moves together from one point to another distinct point. And so it is our honor and our privilege. It's really exciting for us to present to you some of what we do and some of what happens out there. Many of the initiatives in church come from the people themselves. People who come to us and say, God has really laid this on my heart, and this is what I believe is important for church. This is what we ought to be involved in. So over the years, a lot of initiatives have been born in that way. However, at this time, we'd like to think that we're doing as much as God wants us to do as a church here and now. We cannot take on 20 or 50 more because that'll fracture us. But we'd like for you to have knowledge and exposure to what is happening, what we're doing. And then we'd like for you to go home and pray about, God, where do you want me to get involved? What do you want me to do? And how can I make a contribution? Scripture says that whatever is not born of faith is sin. It doesn't quite cut it with God. And so God wants us to live from this place of very sincere and deep conviction. And we invite you to join us in this way so that 2016 for you will be a year of great reward, great excitement, and great discovery as you find out what God wants to do in you and through you to change the world around you. The Lord bless you.
There we just have some of the prayer points. So while we're gathering in the fast, we can also pray, where can we slot in the church and contribute towards God's kingdom? This morning's sermon is from a portion of scripture that most of you have probably heard. And I believe that it's in the simplicity of this text that God wants to come and show us Himself and the fact that He is good, He is God, He is Almighty. And I have these two things that people struggle with is bearing fruit. People feel that I need to produce. I need to get some fruit out. Otherwise, I'm not a good Christian, and all those things that go with that, the condemnation and so forth. And another thing is, I think many people are without joy in their Christianity, in following Jesus. I have to do things, and I have to do things right, and I have to do it from A to Z. And joy is lost in the process. So I believe if you can just think about that in your own life, in light of this scripture that we're going to read, and we're going to study, it's just, am I joyful in what I do? Do I enjoy being a child of God? Do I enjoy worshiping God? Is it a joy for me, or is it something that is a burden to me? So what I want to talk about this morning is about the all-sufficient vine, which is Jesus. So what I would like you to do is not to switch off and say, I've heard this sermon. It's about the vine and the branches and the fruit. Please, don't do that. But listen to what God wants to teach you in this morning. Ask Him for revelation out of His Spirit, what it is that He wants to teach you in this morning. And just on the topic of the rain, just thinking about that now this morning, I saw a miracle. For the first time that I know of, Bloemfontein has waterfalls. I drove underneath those three bridges in Deerfmalerwe at the university, and water just came streaming down from the university over those rocks, and I was like, this is amazing. This looks like a proper waterfall, even though for a short time, but I know it will fade, but I'll have that memory, and I'll have some photos as well. I did pull over and then take the photos, just for those who are wondering about that. Let us read from John chapter 15. I'm going to read the whole portion of scripture, and then we're going to focus on some of the verses. Right. Not all of them are up there, but I'm going to read through the whole passage. If you want to follow in your Bibles, John 15 from verse 1 to 17, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It's Jesus speaking to His disciples before He gets crucified. And a wonderful piece of text from verse 13 where He washes their feet right through to where He gets crucified in chapter 18. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Just note how God stipulates, I am the vine, you are the branches. Not that we get confused in any way. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that you may, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command me, you. No longer do I call you servants, for servants doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this piece of scripture, and I pray that it will be alive to us in this morning. Pray that your Spirit would work a work in our hearts to realize what you want to teach us, God. Pray that you would speak through me, God, and that you would take away any obstacles in myself or anyone hearing this message that wants to hinder us from hearing the truth. And I pray that every heart would receive your truth out of this piece of scripture, and that your name will be glorified and our joy will be full. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll be focusing on the first 6 verses of John 15. So just in summary, because it's a long portion that we've read now, let's just summarize those 6 verses. The first verse, in essence, says that Jesus is the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. Second verse, the Father is the one who prunes and removes. Prunes those who are bearing fruit and removes those who aren't bearing fruit. The third one, the disciples are those that are already clean. And I want to pause for a moment, because when we read the scripture, many times we read verse 3 and we say, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. And we take it as our own, not realizing that he's not speaking to us directly. He's speaking to the disciples. He's speaking to a group of 12 men who have walked with him for 3 years. Day and night, they saw him working, they saw him laboring, they saw him praying. He spoke to them, he taught them. For an intense time of 3 years, those people, they were already clean. They have been pruned by the words of Jesus. And it's not automatic that we have been pruned by the words of Jesus. If you have never heard the words of Jesus, how could you be pruned? So you have to ask yourself, have I been pruned by Jesus? Has his word come to cut away that which is not of him, and that which will make me bear more fruit? So it's not automatic that you are clean. But I can't judge that. You have to ask the Father and ask the Father and Jesus, am I clean? Have I been pruned? Have I been cut clean? And then you'll have the answer to that question. Verse 4. Abide or you will not be able to bear fruit. Verse 4 basically says that if you want to bear fruit, you need to abide. verse 5. It's just Jesus stating that I am the vine, you are the branches, ordering us to say, you know where you fit in. You're not the vine, I am. And the last verse, to those who do not abide, they are gathered and burned. So just keep that in mind. We're only focusing on these six verses. So let's do a bit of a background check on some vines. Can I have the first picture up there? That is more or less how a vine would look out in the wild. They have been trimmed in some way, but usually if we drive through the Cape area, we see these long stretches of vines, vine upon vine, connected to wires. This is a bit more of a natural look. And Jesus says, I'm the vine. What vines usually do is they would, it's almost, they would cling to something that is solid, grow up into its full capacity, and then start sending out more branches to reach more sunlight in order to produce better grapes. So the vine is always growing, always expanding in order that more fruit can be produced. So Jesus is the one that says, I'm the vine. So if you look at that big trunk, all the thick pieces, that is the vine. We'll get to the branches a bit later, but you can see some grapes on that one as well. Let's go to the next one. He says, my Father is the vine dresser. Now, if you look at that vine and the branches that he's working with at the moment, you don't see any leaves on it, and you don't see any fruit on it. It seems as if it's dead, but it's not. In wintertime, it looks like that. And in wintertime, I think about a month before summer comes, after the whole of the vineyard has stopped producing, sending forth the sap that is in the branches, it seems as if it's dead and dry. That is the time in which the vine dresser comes in and prunes, takes away all those who don't bear fruit, and those who does bear fruit, prune them to be more efficient. So that is typically what it would look like if a man would come and dress a vine. Another thing is that it's a time-consuming process, this one. People, when they start with the vineyard, it takes a couple of years before the fruit actually comes through. And people need to prune year by year and train the branches to grow into the right areas, take off those. There's actually a lot of branches that gets cut off, the whole branch that just gets severed, because it's not going to be a good vine if that one continues to grow. So there's a lot of branches that gets pruned and cut away. Can I have a look at the next one? That's typically what it would look like. All the dead branches gathered into one heap. And the scripture says that they will be burned. They're not useful for much else than being burned. There's also, when we read that scripture, we see that those who bear fruit are amazing. But it's this radical contrast for those who are not bearing fruit to be burned. And I don't want to skip this part in the text just because he talks about fire and punishment. It's the truth. And we need to ask ourselves, God, do you want to snip me, cut me off, or are you going to prune me? Am I abiding? Am I not abiding? Am I bearing fruit? Am I not bearing fruit? It's your question to answer. Right, we can have a look at the next one. Now that is how it should look. Now those are some juicy, big, lekker driver. And that is what God wants from us. He wants us to produce fruit. Because if we produce fruit, He can prune us to be even better. And at some points we get pruned and we're like, God, I don't understand why this is happening. Why are you doing this? But that's, I can't produce fruit from this branch. And he says, no, it's not in the right place. It's not big enough. It's not strong enough. You might not be able to carry the grapes that I want you to carry. So that is a beautiful picture. That is what we should have in mind. That blesses other people. Galatians 5 verse 22 speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness. That is what people can taste if they eat of this fruit. And it's not something that we can produce in and of ourselves. So let's look at the next picture. This is just an illustration to try to get ourselves set on how exactly does this whole thing work. You see at the bottom, that is the vine. That is the only thing that connects the grapes to the ground and the branches to the ground. And the roots, we aren't able to see those roots, but they go deep down. Then you see going vertically up from the vine, those are the branches. And upon them, they are the fruit. Right. So what we need to get is, if you take a branch and break it off, will it be able to produce fruit or not? It's not a trick question. If you take a branch, you break it off, will that be able to bear any fruit? No. Why is that not possible? It's not possible because it's not connected to the vine. Why does it need to be connected to the vine? Because everything that that branch receives to produce fruit comes from the vine. There's no other way for the branch to get what it's needed to produce fruit. And there's a story of a particular vine in England, in London, that had massive bunches of grapes every year. It was a freak of a tree. And it just kept producing these bunches of grapes. They couldn't understand why. They weren't giving it any special attention. And then years later, they discovered one of the roots had gone from where it was standing hundreds of yards further down into the River Thames that walks through or flows through London. And that in that slimy, mucky water, it got all the nutrients that it required to produce grapes, bunches and bunches of it. That's the work of Jesus Christ. He's the one that goes and gets everything that we need to produce fruit. A branch can't push out a root, let it go into the ground and get its own apart from the vine. The vine is connected to the roots, and that gets everything that's necessary for producing grapes. So what is the function of the branch? What does the branch do? Because it doesn't have to get any water. It doesn't have to get any nutrients. It doesn't have any leaves on itself. What does the branch need to do? What the branch does is it simply receives from the vine and lets the grapes and the fruit form. That's the role of the branch. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the one that provides us with everything that we need. If we are connected to Him, we'll get all the nutrients and water and everything that we need to produce fruit. What we do, we abide. And that's how the fruit gets formed. In and of ourselves, we can do nothing. That's exactly what Jesus wants to illustrate to us in this whole thing. This whole section of Scripture, He wants to say, listen to me. You can't do this on your own. You don't have anything in and of yourself to produce anything that's worthy of glorifying the Father. Because verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So what is he saying? He's saying that if you produce fruit, what are you going to do? You're going to glorify the Father. And for what purpose have I created you? I've created you to glorify the Father. That's what God has made us for, is to glorify His name. Glorify His name on earth in everything that we do. And when we get to heaven, we're going to continue glorifying God. All needs to be unto the glory of God. So verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The fruit is not for you. The fact that you're bearing fruit is not for you. You're not going to eat of that fruit. The fruit of the fruit is to glorify the Father. You get that? All right. So what I want to get to is, a branch in and of itself can do nothing. And I want that to hit home, because I believe that's what Jesus wanted to hit home when he was speaking to his disciples before going away. He's saying, you need to abide in me. You need to stay in me and with me. If you're not going to do that, you're not going to be able to do what I've called you to do. And God had great plans for his disciples, but he said, you will not make it. And what was Jesus' recipe to success? Jesus' recipe to success is also found in this text. He says that as we abide in his love, like he abided in the love of his Father. That is how he did it. He abided in the Father. That's how he was able to do his work, do his ministry. And now he says, you need to abide in me. We have no other refuge. We have no other option. There's nothing else than the vine that can get us to produce the fruit that we need to do. If we realize, okay, yes, abide. I need to abide. Let's look at a definition of abiding. Abide means to stay in a given place, state, or relation, or expectancy. Abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry for. This word abide is difficult to grasp, just to grasp for ourselves. Oh yes, abide, it means that. It's something that we need to discover. It's something that we can only discover as we are abiding. We're going to know what it is to abide. To stay in the vine. If you start abiding in Jesus, then you'll be able to recognize that you weren't abiding. But just by not abiding, you will not know exactly what it is to abide. But if you start abiding, then you see the difference. Oh, yes. This is what I've been missing. This is what I missed out on. I wasn't able to abide. And because this word is a bit difficult for us to understand, we need to realize that we need God to abide. We are not able to abide in God. We are not able to stay in the vine on our own. So the first thing that we are unable to do is we are unable to produce any fruit without God. The second thing that we are unable to do is that we are unable to abide in the vine in and of ourselves. That's a work that God should come and do within us. So it's absolutely, it's just been revealed to me over this holiday times that we do so many things. We strive to do this, we strive to do that. I want to do the will of God. I want to do the will of God. The will of God is that I should glorify Him. How can I glorify Him in this that I'm doing now? Am I glorifying you, God? And then you're, oh yes, I need to abide. I need to abide. How should I abide? Focus on abiding, abiding, abiding. But I don't know really what to do, so I'll just try to abide. I'll abide in abiding. We are unable to abide in and of ourselves. But that's a brilliant thing. That's a great thing. Because if we look at Luke chapter 18, verse 27, God says the following. What is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And that is what we need to cling to. Many people look at this verse and they look at their lives and they've been trying. I've been a Christian for a while. I'm trying to do the will of the Father. And he realizes that he keeps on falling. You keep on falling, you keep on failing, and you realize it is impossible. Some people stay there. Some people get stuck there. Says it's impossible. I can't do this. What God asks from me is just too big. I can't do this. It's an impossibility to me. Some people journey on, believing in God, having faith in God, and they get to a next point which says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So they come to the point of saying, it is impossible for me to abide, it's impossible for me to produce fruit, but it's possible for God. And then they just stay at that point, saying, it's impossible for me, it's possible for God, Jesus was able to do it. That's great. But what about me? God can do it, obviously, he's God, so he'll do it. But what about me? I can't do it. God can, and I'm not God. So I'll just give up now. Have you come to that point in your life when you realize that? We need to go over those two into faith. Saying, yes, Lord, it's impossible for me to do this. Can't do this on my own. Second confession. God, you are able to do this. And the third one goes over into saying, God, because you can do it, I believe that you can do it in me. I open up myself that you come and do the work that you have planned through me. Saying, God, I'll be a conduit. I'll be receiving and giving, but I can't do this on my own. And by faith, I believe that you will do it. For many people are Christians in their way of life, saying things, but they don't have faith in the end. They have heard all the right answers. They confess the truth so correctly. They confess, yes, this is the truth about God. This is the truth about Jesus. And when it comes to, okay, but do you believe that? No, not really. But I can tell you what to believe. I saw a quote over the holiday times, and it says, I can't remember the whole thing, but it comes down to, it's not your beliefs that show your values, but it's your actions that show your values. So you can believe a lot of great values about God, great values about being a Christian. But if you're not acting it out, you're not showing it. So your actions determine and show people, this is my values, this is what I stand for, this is what I believe. So what I want to leave with you is this thing of, it's impossible for you to bear fruit. But God requires it of you to bear fruit. Otherwise you get cut off, thrown in the fire. And it is possible with God. And not just saying, God, it's possible with you. Saying, God, it's possible with you. And I believe that you will do that through me. You come to a point of absolute surrender. That's what Christ requires of us. Denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following him. Saying, all that I have, God, I'm leaving behind. I don't care about that. I'm surrendering everything to you. That's what God's call is in the end for us, is to surrender everything. Says everything that you can understand, everything that you can't understand about God, you need to have that faith to say, God, I surrender everything that I have. And if you get to that point of surrendering everything, laying everything down, then you are able to produce fruit. Then you are able to look like these guys. Can go on two slides. Is my photo gone? There we go. I think they are abiding, and I think they are producing a lot of fruit. I think that's how we should look like. People shouldn't be doubting, are these people bearing fruit? I don't know. I can't really see that. I can't really see if they are bearing fruit. We should look like these guys. And do you see some smiles on their faces? I see broad smiles on their faces. And I find that in the scripture as well. Let me just read to you verse 11. These things about the vine, about abiding, I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. If we abide, we're going to bear fruit. You can both go back to that slide of the guy standing there with the balloons. We're going to look like these guys, joyful, knowing God, I'm yours. And then what we receive is the joy of Jesus in our lives. And he says not only that we may have his joy, but that our joy may be full. Our joy can only be full. We can only be fruitful in Christ if we believe these words that he has spoken and apply it to our lives. And the second thing that is also coming out of this text, I've already said verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. That is how we glorify God the Father, if we bear fruit. And we bear much fruit. He says much fruit. If you bear that, you will glorify the Father. And that is what you have been created for. It also says, then people will be able to see that you are my disciples. So in our lives, our way, our conduct is like a big old clock like that. If you look at the arms of it, you'll be able to see if it's functioning properly or not. Right. So our actions, our outward appearance, our tempers are like those. If you see them and you see that they are moving, and yes, they are on time and I need to finish as well, you see that it's functioning. What do you know about the mechanism inside? You know that the mechanism inside is working properly. If they are standing still, it shows you that something is wrong on the inside. If people can't see that you're a Christian, if people can't see that you're bearing the fruit of the Spirit, it's showing that the hands have stopped. And that something inside needs to be fixed. We need to be fixed from the inside. Then our outside will be working properly. So I want to ask you this morning, are the arms of the clock standing still? Can people see that you love God? Can people see the fruit of the Spirit inside of you? And you say, no, I don't want to go into works. No, I'm done with that. Exactly. You should be done with good works. And you should let God produce what he wants to produce through you. That's a blessing to people. And what is your job? Your job is to abide by faith. The rest will be done by Jesus. Through his Holy Spirit inside of you, he will bear the fruit that you require to glorify the Father. So that's my plea with you this morning. If you want to be joyful, if you want to be living out the fruit of the Spirit, and if you want to fulfill your life's purpose, which is glorifying God, there's only one way. And that's surrendering to the all-sufficient vine. Surrendering to Jesus and saying, I just want to be in the vine. And we come to a place of rest. And from that place, the fruit come. If we are resting inside the branch, not trying to find our own nutrition in the ground, not trying to gather our own water from the sky, trying to squeeze out some fruits. If we just abide in the vine, it's as simple as that, by faith. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father God, I thank you that that you are God and that you are King. You are ruler. Jesus, you're the all-sufficient vine. You are the true vine. There's nothing else in all creation that can satisfy like you do. There's nothing else in all creation, God, that can let us produce the fruit that glorifies the Father, glorifies your name. And I pray in this morning, Father God, that hearts would be willing to surrender everything and say, I hope, I have this hope in Christ that He will do the work, He will complete the work which He has planned for my life. And as you are sitting there, I plead with you that you would ask the Father that He would show you in which areas you still need to surrender. Where is absolute surrender still necessary? Where in your life do you need to let go and abide? Father God, I pray that you would reveal to everyone here. You know them. You know their lives. You know what's going on the inside. You can see if the juices are flowing or not. From the outside, we may be still a branch and everybody thinks we are fine. But you can look beyond the bark into the cells and you see the fluids going and flowing inside, or you see nothing. A stagnant, dry branch. And I pray, Father God, that you would have grace upon every person that is dry. I ask, Father God, that you would have grace upon every person that is not producing fruit, not abiding in you, God.